Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs, what's going on? It's your boy TP. Time is back at the helm. You already know what time it is. It's the Master Chef Show Crossover Cafe Edition. That style is now in effect. The caller number is, well, y'all know I'm going to get into that in a little bit. SportsCityChefs.com, that's the website. Again, at the top of every show, I'm going to, you know, thank everybody that's been supporting us, downloading us, and giving us that support. As always, man, we've been seeing heavy numbers, and if it weren't for you, we would not be sitting here in this kitchen giving y'all a lot of food for thought. All of y'all have been doing those dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know. Sports City, let's go. I'm telling you, Sports City, if y'all sat in the green room before we got into the kitchen, man, y'all would understand how I could come to these shows, every single show, and have a bundle of adrenaline because I'm in a heated discussion regardless of the situation. But the caller number is 917-889-9592. I'm going to try my best to get these dishes out here as best as possible because the chefs are here, man. We got a locked and loaded show, especially for you out there. And I'm going to save the guy for last because it just seems like he has something to do. But also to everybody that's not aware, I don't know where you've been. You may have been in Iceland under a rock. But I did the ice bucket challenge yesterday and just got criticized for doing a doggone ice bucket challenge. So that's the discussion I got into Sports City. But let me get this show rocking and rolling. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia. You guys know him as Slim Jim, a.k.a. Mr. Fitzgerald James. Welcome to the Crossover Cafe, a.k.a. the Master Chef Edition. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling pretty good, man. It's kind of hot out here in Georgia, though. But, I mean, I got me a cold glass of ice water, and I'm doing okay, man. It's nice to be in the kitchen once again. I love doing this every Thursday.
Most definitely. And by way of the state of Pennsylvania, I didn't expect to see him here today, but it's epic to see him when he comes into the kitchen. We have Mike Brown here. Welcome to the Master Chef Show. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, but in the city of Pittsburgh, we're talking about marijuana charges instead of football. So
Hey, this is basketball. This is basketball. No pigskin as of yet. We'll be talking that tomorrow and Saturday is something you can get your fill in the kitchen. I know that's a hot topic. I cannot wait to address it. And you're not even a Steelers fan, so this is crazy that you're pointing to that Pittsburgh.
I can go basketball too. You know me.
I do know you. I do know you. If we don't talk about the Celtics, we can, or we can talk about the Cowboys, but not today. We won't talk about the Cowboys. I know we'll spend a whole show talking about Jerry Jones, Tony Romo, and oh yes, Garrett, you are not out of it. But I'm not doing it. This is basketball. And last but not least, the guy that stirred up all of the drama in the green room about me doing an unfair quote unquote ice bucket challenge, Mr. Knight, aka Nostradamus, aka Chandler. Welcome to the Master Chef Show. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, and you need to stop saying ice bucket because you used 3 cups of water. He had 3 3-year-olds pour 3 cups of water on his head. All I'm saying.
This is terrible. Listen, if you want to go see it, go check it out. It's on my page. There was 2 sauce pots that you know, if you're Italian, you know what I'm talking about, the one that your grandmother stirred for like 8 hours and make sure the sauce is right. That's what it was. But leave it to Chandler and say I had cups of water, thrown on me. These kids were barely lifting the pot. They could barely get the pots up. And I got hit in the top of the head with one of the pots too at that, though. So, and look, you know what? I tell all of my friends, so Chandler, if you're up to the challenge on air right now, here at the Madden Chef Show, you can do the challenge too, you know. Show me how it's done. Just show me how it's done. That's all I want to know.
Fine.
As Slim Jim said, it's hot down south. You only a state away from him. So if it's hot where he is in Georgia, I know it's burning up the South Cadillac, a.k.a. South Carolina.
Ice bucket challenge is going to be a good thing.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said the ice bucket challenge is going to be a good thing, man, the way this weather is right about now. That's going to be a good thing.
Well, I challenge both of you. I challenge both of you to do it. You guys have 24 hours to do it and sponsor ALS. If not, you guys could, you know, donate $20 to $50. I'll be
sure. Give me 72 hours. Give me 72 hours.
72?
I got time. I got to go set up the camera. I got jury duty tomorrow, Saturday. I got Wednesday. I got things, man. I'll take out the time. Give me 72. I'll do it before the weekend's out.
Man, you could do it on your porch, man. Stop that. Look at what you come up with. Sports City, this is what I'm going through right now. This is what I'm going through. They 72 hours, that's not even fair. 3 days? You need till Sunday?
I'm not even entertaining
you. You're done. It's bad enough I got Chandler talking crap. He know I ain't had no damn cuffs. Sports City, excuse me. I'm getting beside myself. Okay.
Look,
I don't even be cussing. I don't even think damn is a curse word, but I'll apologize on behalf of myself. Getting out of character. Now, I know that some people came to the kitchen with some dishes, which is cool. I'm going to let them get the dishes off first because it seems like I'm always the one rattling off, and then they kind of follow my lead. I want to get in here and mix it up, too. Slim Jim, we actually had a conversation outside the kitchen. I also talked to Chandler outside of the kitchen before the show started. He also had a topic, too. I want to see where you guys go before I start throwing the menu at people and getting these dishes out there. So, Slim Jim, I'll come to you first. The topic that you would like to throw to these people, a lot of food for thought. We are all going to do these dishes.
Okay, well, look. This is something that actually came up a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and it actually got kind of heated. Talking about the top five centers out of Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm going to just put it in a particular order for you guys, and then you guys are going to rank them from 1 to 5. It was Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, Bill Russell. Now all of a sudden, it's like things are slipping from my head. Will Chamberlain and Kareem. Duh. Okay. So, rank those five centers 1 to 5. Tell me why. I don't want to bring that out. Just let me know why.
Okay, this is going to get very interesting. Mike, do you need time to go at it? Because I'm going to go to you first.
I can do it.
I actually had this set up for Saturday because I actually have a huge dish on Bo's show for Chandler, and I don't know if Slim Jim was, you know, getting a leftover dish from the kitchen and brought it right back here. But this is going to get very interesting at the top of the show, and we do have our notable chef here also. But, Mike, your top five, I guess, 1 through 5 from what Slim Jim listed.
Okay. First of all, when I hear this question, I have to personally always eliminate Russell and Chamberlain as the all-time best, just for the simple fact I never saw them play other than highlights, and also back when they played, there weren't as many teams in the league. The other three guys, I got to go with Hakeem Olajuwon, number one, for his two championships with Houston. I think he's better than Shaquille O'Neal. I think Shaquille O'Neal's free throws was a huge liability, although I think he was a little more dominant than Hakeem. I just got to put him number one. I'm going to put Kareem number two. Again, I didn't see Kareem play back in the early 70s when he was in his prime with Milwaukee. But I did see him, you know, with the Lakers, And I saw, you know, one of the greatest all-time centers. So I'll go Hakeem 1, Kareem 2, Shaq 3. And like I said, I just can't rate Chamberlain and Russell just because I never saw him play. Although when you score 100 points in a game like Chamberlain did in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which I'm very close to right now, it's hard to argue 100 points in a game.
Okay, this is going to get very entertaining, calling in by way of the state of Indiana. You guys know him as Mr. King. I know him as Arkeezy. Royce, welcome to the MasterChef Show. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, gentlemen. Sorry about the late arrival. Just started a new gig. But I'm here. You know, it's Royce the Voice, a.k.a. Royce TV. What you got for me?
Okay, so Slim Jim throws, I don't know if you've heard it, but Slim Jim throws out a topic already. And we actually had this in the kitchen on Tuesday, and it was actually at the end of the show, and was stated that we would throw this around Saturday. But interesting enough,
I didn't know.
The crossover catfish. I'm sorry. Let me finish. Please. So here at the Crossover Cafe, this is a dish for the evening. Out of his five centers that he mentioned, 1 through 5, if you want to, might cut the list kind of short. The list goes as follows. You have Chamberlain, you have Russell, you have Kareem, you have Olajuwon, and Shaq. 1 through 5, list them, and if you want to give a detailed reason on why, please do so.
Wow, this is kind of difficult. I have to agree with Mike. I can't say that I saw Chamberlain. I can't say that I really saw Russell other than video footage. I mean, I've seen the stats. I've heard from my elders the quality of these guys and their abilities and things of that nature. But, you know, I won't eliminate them. I'll say based on my view statistically and the fact that anyone who listens to me when I'm talking fantasy, I always say you are who your player card says you are, and I take into account championships. So in terms of, you know, the legacy and kind of what's been done, and you have awards named after you and things of that nature, or your likeness and image, Bill Russell, number one, Chamberlain, number two, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, number three. And then when we get to the Shaq, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon situation, Shaq has more rings. I know Olajuwon was more skilled, but I can't deny Shaquille O'Neal's dominance, so I will definitely put Shaquille O'Neal number four and Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon number five. And we'll debate that type of list and that order forever in a day, but that's my five.
Very interesting, Mr. King. I love it, and I can't wait till it starts to heat up in the kitchen, because believe me, I think it will right now. Mr. Knight, your thoughts on the five centers that were mentioned, and however your opinionated list may be, please do so from 1 through 5. If you need me to list them, I can.
No, I heard the list. And this is why, you know what, this is why Celtics fans really shouldn't be allowed to talk basketball sometimes. how you cannot have Chamberlain and Russell on the list is beyond me, whether you've seen a play or not, because that's like saying, if that's the case, then I don't want to hear anybody ever mention Babe Ruth again. I mean, so, you know, and now do I have to stick, is it just that five? We're talking about ranking, it's just that five, right? Not my five, just that five.
Just that five.
Okay. Well, first of all, O'Neal's last for me. Simply because there's other centers that have been better. He's not even in my top five, but for this five, O'Neal is last. I go Chamberlain, then I go Russell. I mean, actually, with me, Chamberlain and Russell, it depends on the day with me with those, because Russell was never given enough credit for his offensive ability or his overall athletic ability. Chamberlain, everybody knows, was supremely gifted as an athlete. I mean, he was a high jumper as a seven-footer. You know, he was one of the most physically dominant, physically gifted men to ever play this sport. Okay, one season he led the the league in blocking. Decided I want to lead the league in scoring. Decided I might. He could have led the league in assists if he wanted to. He did, right, Royce?
Absolutely, he did one season. He absolutely did.
Yeah. So, and that was from the center position at a time when, because there were less teams, teams were more loaded with talent. So it was much, you know. So you know. And that's kind of why the Celtics sort of dominated, because if you look at the Celtics lineups over the years, oh, my God, how many Hall of Famers came off those teams? They had Hall of Famers on the bench, all right? So I go Chamberlain, Russell, or Russell Chamberlain, depending on how I feel that particular day. Chamberlain, Russell. Oh, Kareem, again, Kareem revolutionized the game in college and was a monster when he got to the pros. I remember a game where Kareem blocked Wilt, okay? And when they asked Wilt about it years later, he said that's what he knew Kareem was going to be good, because, I mean, and it wasn't no, he kind of tipped it. He fumped it. He caught him, and he looked at him like, what? What do you want, Wilt? Because I got something for you. That's how bad Kareem was. So there's you got Kareem, then Olajuwon, because Olajuwon, again, kind of revolutionized the game again as such with his moves, his post moves. He had supremely quick feet. I mean, good God, his feet. You know, the moves that man could make. And honestly, to me, he was always more of a power forward playing center. He wasn't a true center, but he still did work down there. That's how good he was. And then O'Neal was physically dominant, but, I mean, his free throw thing never bothered me, because he was good enough at a time in the league where he was sort of the last line of centers. He was the last of the great centers to me that played. He was the last of them, and that's kind of why I have him so low on the list, because by the time he got there, he had most of the competition he played against was older. He was younger. I mean, there was a time when O'Neal, before he put on the weight, he could beat point guards down the floor in the end. You know, he'd go down, block a shot, give the rebound up, and then beat everybody to the other end of the floor. So his free throws never bothered me, because he did enough on the court that it didn't matter whether he could shoot free throws, because he was still going to the basket, and at the end of the day, he was going to dunk on you. So even if you fouled him, he still got 2 points. Whether he got three, okay, but he still got two. So that's my five.
Okay, Slim, how do you want to do it? Me go before you, or you want to go and I go? How do you want to do it? You want to hear me go, or what?
I'm going to let you call it. It really doesn't matter to me, man.
Okay. My five goes like this. I got to respect Kareem. He leads the league in scoring all time, even though Kareem's been in the league. Well, while his duration was in the league, you know, early 70s, so I think he retired about 87, 88, if I'm not mistaken. Number two, I'm going to go with Shaquille. I got to go with Shaquille of what he did while he was in the league from 92 until a recent, I think 3 years ago was when Shaq wrapped it up. Number three, I'm going with Wilt. I got to go with Wilt, that's still no. You know what? I'm switching that up. I'm going with Hakeem. I'll go with Hakeem number three. Four is Wilt. And five, I'll go with Russell. And here's why I put Bill Russell at the bottom of that list with the centers. Bill Russell may be the one that contains the most hardware out of anybody that I think played basketball. But he was on one of the more interesting teams and rosters that they've seen early in the NBA career, and that is, you know, no flaw to him at the end of the day. I just think that he had a good cast around him, where Wilt had a decent cast around him, but they can never get over the hump of knocking off the Celtics. So I'm going to put them down there. I put them down there also below Hakeem Olajuwon, because Hakeem is one of the league leaders in blocking shots. Also, a lot of people know about the dream shake and what Hakeem needs to do offensively. Defensively, this guy had the package, too, of, you know, contesting shots or sending it the other way and starting a fast breakup for Houston. And for him to actually be the anchor to help Houston get a championship in, what, 94 and 95, up against the Knicks going seven games. I know Chandler don't like that. And also sweeping a young Shaquille O'Neal-led Orlando Magic team. I give Hakeem a ton of respect that number three, but I like the list. It's Kareem, Shaq, Hakeem, Wilt, and Bill Russell. I'll bring it up with Bill at number five. Slim Jim, it's on you. This is your topic. Who do you like as your top five centers?
Now, the reason why I got this topic off, you know how they're going to put them NBA memes on Facebook. I'm just letting you know where I got the topic because I didn't listen to the show. That's why I was trying to apologize. I didn't know I was going to take the plate from you guys. But this has been an interesting conversation. At the top of my list would have actually been John Konkak. I thought John Konkak was a great center for the Atlanta Hawks. But, since I got to stick with Jesse 5, I got Kareem number one. Because Kareem could have gone until he was 47 and still been putting up 18, 19 a game. I really, truly believe that. That skyhook was deadly from about 15 to 16 feet. He could go and finish strong inside. Kareem was just deadly. To me, out of all the centers that I've seen, I mean, I can't say I've seen Bill or Will either, but I've seen the other three. Out of everybody else, Kareem was definitely that one dude where his game was just, he was kind of like a ballerina at 7 foot, man. He could move like a king. He actually had moves like a king and had good feet and would finish from anywhere. Had jumper, get inside, and bang, he'd do everything. So Kareem, I mean, top scorer, Kareem number one. I put Bill Russell number two because of defense and the fact he won so much. It's kind of hard to go and have him below two when he's got so many championships, he's done what he's done. I put Wilt 3. This is where it got kind of iffy for me. I put Wilt 3 just mainly because his strength. You know, he kind of was the guy that pioneered being, stronger than everybody else in the court. But he actually had moves along with the fact that he was bullying people. So I put Wilt 3. Hakeem 4 because, like Chandler said, he revolutionized the game also. Did play out of position. I mean, people give him 7 foot, but really I want to say he was 6'10", maybe 6'10 and a half, if we were really measuring. But Hakeem, he was spinning around everybody and had a gang of moves. And I got Shaq 5th because I felt like he bogarted his way into a lot of buckets, and I'm not trying to knock his game, but I felt like I just kind of feel it's his fault that the people that we do have in the league, like Dwight Howard, really never tried to go and develop any kind of post game. They kind of just used their strength to just go and just bogart their way to the hoop, never really developed any kind of moves in the pivot, never developed an up and under, never – just none of that. No, it was like they just never grabbed a Kevin McHale video and tried to study it. It just did not happen. So I'm kind of blaming Shaq for that, even though he did dominate, get his championships. I got Shaq 5th. Can I ask one other question, though, too? Chandler, you said that this wouldn't be the five people that you would have used in your top five. Who are the five you would have used?
My five would be Will, Kareem, Bill Russell. Then I would go Bill Walton. And I would go a guy who – granted, by the time he – well, are we talking NBA? So I can't – then I would – huh?
We're talking NBA, but go ahead. Whoever, it's your list. Go ahead.
Sabonis.
Okay, and then my fifth guy would be Arvydas Sabonis.
I saw that coming.
Yep.
Stop it. He's not – no, he's not. He would have said Hayward.
No, you know what? Actually, though, John Konkak did work at SMU.
His hair was perfect. He had hair like a Lego man. It was perfect. He never moved.
But that would be my five. Like I said, Shaq wouldn't be in my top five simply because I think by the time Shaq came along, he was the last of the great centers, and he came along at a time when everybody else was retiring. I mean, Shaq ain't even in my top 10. I'm going to be honest with you because I can name a bunch of centers who the average fan favorite. Might not know, but these guys – I'm sorry?
Save your top 10 for Saturday. I need extra attention. I'm not even trying to cook heavy with this topic. I'm just listening as I need to go by. So your top five, your fifth center was John Konkak?
No, my fifth center was Arvydas Sabonis.
Okay, so Sabonis is better than Shaquille O'Neal.
He absolutely was.
and try telling me how Patrick Ewing was better than Shaquille, because I know he's above him too. If Shaq ain't in your top 10.
No, I don't have Patrick Ewing in my top 10. Just because I'm a Knicks fan doesn't mean I only pick my guys. I pick guys I watch play, whether they played internationally or in the NBA, and I actually watch basketball. I don't root for anybody when it comes to me just watching. There's players that I love who never played for the Knicks and killed the Knicks, but I still love them as players because of how talented they were.
Okay. So Sabonis was better than Patrick Ewing, too?
Actually, yes, Sabonis. And in international play, because I watched him play international ball, Arvydas Sabonis, before he tore his knees up, would have been a top three center in the National Basketball Association had he come over. That's how good he was.
Listen, I'm not even giving Sabonis the edge over David Robinson. I won't even go that far. You doing that. You're really going that far.
That's because you're too young.
Sabonis didn't even come to the league and do work like that. Sabonis sat outside and tried to shoot jump shots late in the game.
Listen.
By the time he had his third up in the mid to late 80s, he didn't even come over here really do much. He came over here, got on Portland, and really built up the gall to really try and ball out here. Like, come on. Sabonis up against the notable names that we know household-wise. Stop that.
Okay, you know that. You know. But, see, just because you only know certain things and because you never watched a man play, I get that, Ty. But what I'm saying is I watched Arvydas Sabonis in his prime. See, there was still international ball going on. I watched him in his prime, okay? And that's how I know how good he was, okay? Because I saw him with two healthy knees play basketball. I saw him on the court with two healthy knees. The casual NBA fan or the fans that know him from Portland only saw him with two bad knees. I saw him with two healthy knees.
That's right.
Go ahead, because I want to, finish up on this, because
I was trying to look up how many times Arvydas Sabonis had been drafted before he finally came over to America, because I want to say, I can't find it. I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now. But I want to say I can think of at least two teams that tried to draft Arvydas Sabonis before he came over. I know Boston was definitely one of them that tried to get Arvydas and he didn't come over. And there was one other team that tried to get him. I remember his name being called at least twice. And he just didn't come. When he finally came, he went to Portland. I think Portland was actually the third team to actually draft him, because he was that good back in the 80s. He was that good. And he was going, like, mid-first round. It was not a game.
Listen, look at that, his career. He only played seven seasons in the league. And he's a top five center. Come on, man. Hold on, because Roy's been chilling. I want to hear if I'm bugging. I want to hear if I'm bugging, because obviously Slim Jim is taking the bait on that one. Are you putting Arvydas Sabonis in the top five?
I'm not taking the bait.
I said Roy. You let me know how you feel about this, please, sir.
Well, I don't have any stats before me because, like I said, I was on the road. But as knowledge goes, the word is definitely that, Sabonis was a bad boy in his healthy days. So I have no problem yielding to Chandler. I trust Chandler. Rarely do I disagree with Chandler. And if Chandler said he saw him with two good knees, and he was that damn good, then I'm willing to accept that he was that good. And, again, people continue to – you got to look at it like this. The 7 years he was in Portland, from year one through year seven, watch any Portland Trail Blazer game throughout that season, and probably no less than 2 to 5 times you're going to hear every television announcer or analyst mention that we're still not seeing how good a Sabonis really was. From the first year he came over to the year he finally finished up in Portland, I can consistently remember seeing and hearing those comments. We do not get the opportunity to see Arvydas Sabonis in his prime. He already pretty much was somewhat of a, you know, an old man in the terms of NBA basketball when he showed up to the Portland Trailblazers. So I have no problems with what Chandler is saying, and if that's where he has him on his list, that's his list.
His list, that's right.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna leave that as it is. I'm gonna be getting deep into depth on this on Saturday, so I gotta chill. I gotta hold my tongue. But Sports City, y'all know me. I'm ready to go ham. I'm just wondering how he puts him ahead of like Hakeem Olajuwon or, you know, some of these notable guys. I don't know. I think Dave Robinson did way more in his career than Sabonis did. That's just me. Look. I know we got time. We got dishes around this kitchen. Chandler, there was a topic that you wanted to address in the kitchen today. I want you to hit on that before we start passing stuff around this kitchen also.
Well, this is something that Ty struggles with, so let me speak slowly and clearly because I know Ty and Mike are going to start bringing up everything but what I'm about to say when it comes to these two players. Right now, Ty, who's a better player, Anthony Davis or Dwight Howard? I say Anthony Davis right now is a better player, better center, better everything than Dwight Howard. I say if you could give the 32 GMs truth serum and you say right now you can have Dwight or you can have Anthony Davis, which one do you take? Which one do you think can actually help your team get over the hump? Which one do you think you can build around? However you want to look at it. Which one do you want, Dwight or Anthony Davis? All 32 taking Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has more dog in him. Anthony Davis has more moves away from the paint. And Anthony Davis is, to me, a better center than Dwight Howard is. But that's just me. What do you guys think?
Okay, Slim Jim, I'm going to come to you first. Your thoughts on this topic that me and Chandler have been brushing off for the past 2 to 3 days, and this heat is remaining in this kitchen, regardless of how people like it or not. But me and this dude are going to continue to go ahead. That's my big brother. We always going to have sibling rivalry. Your thoughts on right now, since it was said 8 times, right now, who is the better center in the league right now, Anthony Davis, a.k.a. the eyebrow, or the unibrow, excuse me, let me get it correct, or happy-go-lucky, Dwight Howard?
As it stands right now, good Lord. See, I could see both of them putting a few teams over the top. That's the problem. Okay, because like if both of them were like on the Golden State Warriors right now, I think the Warriors are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. If I had to go and pick one right now, I gotta take Anthony Davis. I have to. As of right now, I have to take Anthony Davis. And the reason why is Dwight Howard's game is plateaued. It's done. It's a wrap. He is what he is. I don't see his game developing anymore. There's nothing more to develop. He's not going to go and get any post moves. He has limited baseline 15-foot jumper on a pick and roll. He hasn't developed none of that. He gets the ball inside, gets hacked half to death, and looks at people some kind of way. Anthony Davis has all that. He can go and stroke it from 15 feet. He can get buckets in the paint. He can go and move in the pivot some. He blocks shots. Defensively, I'd say as far as the shot blocking is concerned, I would say they're about even. The one thing I would give the edge to Dwight Howard for, I would think, is maybe rebounding. But even with that, he's not rebounding with the aggressiveness that he used to. And I think that's why I'm leaning towards Anthony Davis right now. It's I would say more so because Dwight Howard is on the downhill of his career, and he's not adding anything more to his repertoire, but Anthony Davis is on the come. That boy can play, and his game is going to get better and better every year. He's going to be a consistent 20-10 guy at some point. I want to say he got 20-10 last season, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not looking at stats. Oh, I got it up, though. But I would take Anthony Davis right now, man.
Okay, Mike, who do you like as of right now? Not now, but right now as the center that you would run with, Dwight Howard or Anthony Davis?
I mean, it's not even close for me. It's Anthony Davis. I agree 100% what I just heard. Dwight Howard 5 years ago could quite easily be on our discussion for a top five center in the NBA. Moving forward, when he was in Orlando, got him to the finals. It looked like he was going to take off and just be one of the best players of all time. And then he had that injury, and he lost his heart, whatever. Now in Houston, I agree 100%. His best days are over. He's not going to get any better. Anyone thinks that a James Harden-Dwight Howard combo can even come close in the West is totally out of their mind. I love Anthony Davis. I have nothing bad to say about him, and I very easily think he's going to be the breakout player this year. He's already great, but I think we're talking, you know, top five, top ten player in the league. I love everything about him. I think he's even going to propel New Orleans into the playoffs this year. So to answer the question, it's not even close for me. Anthony Davis, I'm taking 100 times out of 100 over Dwight Howard.
Okay, Royce, your thoughts on the two centers. Who are you going with as of right now? Royce, are you still there, Royce?
Yeah, okay, I'm here. Right now, okay, let me start over. Y'all got to help me. Right now, for what purpose? What's the purpose? Right now, who would I build around? I mean, I want to make sure the question isn't loaded, two-sided, you know, you're going to flip the answer. I mean, right now, for what? Who would I build around at this point in their career? Who would I build around based on their body of work? Or you just want to hear what I have to say about both guys? If that's what
all
you want.
Above.
Okay.
All
let me. Here it is. Here's what I think about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a 7-foot point guard. The kid was pretty much a point guard, and then he exploded in his growth and height and length, and he started playing defense and being a big. And he's better at a lot of things on the perimeter than Dwight Howard because he had to be. I mean, he was a point guard until his junior year in high school. We all know that when it comes to high school basketball, freshman and sophomore year, like, you're trying to earn your stripes so as a junior and senior, you can dominate your class. Well, he got help, a gift from God. Let me give you about 6 or 7 more inches and help you dominate your class from a whole entire brand-new position that all the people you were competing with class-wise, they were used to you playing point. Now you're playing center, and you're throwing their stuff to half court and dunking on them. So skills, he's better than Dwight when it comes to skills as we see a guy on the perimeter, similar to like a Kevin Durant. Hell, Kevin Durant's big enough to play in today's NBA as a center. We wouldn't compare Dwight Howard to Kevin Durant. Not even a fair comparison. Much more skilled player. So that's how I view Anthony Davis in terms of the skill set. But I also look at the fact that Anthony Davis, he hasn't proven anything in terms of health and durability. He's got to get to 70-plus games, let alone 82. And that's what it's going to take if he's going to have a breakout season. If you think that the New Orleans Hornets can get a top 8 seed in the West, Anthony Davis must play, absolutely must play 82 games. If he only played 60-some games, they'll be the same old Hornets, period, dot, end of discussion, and everybody will be in love with the talent and potential of Anthony Davis, but you will still have been delivered nothing at all but hype and hope. When it comes to Dwight Howard and his body of work, Until that injury, the man was grabbing 1,000 rebounds every season with the exception of his rookie year. That shit is hard to argue with, gentlemen. And he's blocking 100-plus shots, close to 200. He had an MVP-caliber season, but the media turned their backs on him and fell in love with a young Derrick Rose, who in his sophomore season said, "Why not me for MVP?" So they made it happen when Dwight Howard actually had the best freaking year of his career, if you check the stats. After that, he got traded somewhere he didn't want to go. I mean, can the Dwight Howard, in my opinion, one of those guys that you put him on any team, he changes the landscape and gives you a chance to go to the finals single-handedly by his presence, period. Provided your team is well-constructed and you build around them in terms of you got the shooters there. Now, what happened in Houston, they ran into a carbon copy in Portland, and Portland just made more shots, okay? Those guys were on fire. It was nothing that they could do about it, but Dwight Howard's ability, his experience on the defensive end trumps Anthony Davis. Yes, Davis blocks a lot of shots because of that length, but Dwight still alters as many, if not more, shots per game. Dwight gets his team into the bonus before Anthony Davis gets his team into the bonus. Dwight Howard is a valuable player. You don't have to like him one iota, but don't close your eyes to his talent and his dominance that he's established at 6'10". He's not 7 feet. He's a legit 6'10", and he had to bulk up. He was once little thin rail guy as well. So he put on that muscle mass and developed them shoulders and that back, and he had hops. So, you know, the injury has taken some things away from Dwight, but at this moment, I'm still going with Dwight Howard's experience. He knows the postseason, and the fact that this is a weak center class in the NBA right now. Right now. In last season, Dwight Howard was putting up those numbers Shaq was calling for against Portland, 20-plus, almost 30 points per game, and about 15 rebounds with the block, because he was also getting those Shaquille O'Neal touches that I've been begging for Dwight's whole career for regular season play. Give Dwight Howard 18 to 20 field goal attempts per game, no one's going to talk crazy. Absolutely no one. But it's not going to happen right now. You know why? Because of the back situation. They're going to keep him at 10 to 12 field goal attempts per game during the regular season, and when needed in the postseason, try to get him 18 to 21 attempts, because there's not a team out there with a postman that can stop Dwight Howard one-on-one. He's still that good. He's still on track to be that dominant. Is he a fan favorite anymore? No. Those are my thoughts on Dwight and Anthony Davis. Give me DH12.
Okay, I'm going to agree with Royce. I'm going with Dwight Howard as well as of right now, not now, but right now. I don't want to base it off of injury because Dwight actually was injured for a couple of those seasons as well. But the past, I think, three seasons, he's gone from Orlando, L.A. to Houston and has had them relevant while he's been at each team, respectively. And I still think Anthony Davis is still raw. He still has to be proven. Yes, he is impressive. Yes, he is putting stats up on the board. I think that is a heavy reach by seeing the Hornets, or no, actually, let me get that correct, the Pelicans get to the playoffs in the Western Conference. I don't think they're a playoff team in the Western Conference. I don't think they have a supporting cast around him that could help him do that. And Houston will be there. I think Houston will be there, and it has to go off of the shoulders of Dwight Howard, because if you try to throw Harden there, Harden is the offensive prowess. Harden doesn't play defense. Harden funnels a lot of that traffic to the paint, and it has to be somebody in there that challenges shots or makes these guys think before they contest the paint at the end of the day. And not to say Dwight is the best at, you know, keeping people away from the rim, because he's gotten dunked on a couple of times in his career. I've seen it happen, but Dwight blocks shots just as much as Anthony does. I think Anthony Davis actually did lead the league in blocks last season, if I'm not mistaken. He was up there in one season, but I want to see him at least be consistently there for the next, let me be fair, the next 3 to 5 seasons. And like, be a guy that can threaten to get you 12 or more rebounds or better. You know what I'm saying? Like, there can be games where Dwight will come out and get you a 30-20 or 20-25 or 22. Like, those are the type of games that Dwight can have happen. Like, his energy is there. But the one thing that people want to see, they want to see him get a team back to the championship like he did in Orlando. And that's not the makeup of that Houston Rockets team right now, especially with the pieces that they moved around. I think that definitely might have put them a step back. But I still think with the loss of Chandler Parsons from that team, also the loss of Steak as well, I think that the Rockets still get there to the postseason and still are a threat to move to the second round, if not potentially a Western Conference final. That is something that I know that they're aiming for with the pieces that they have there. And that's something that Harden and Howard have to buy into. Anthony Davis, he's still young. This experience with him playing internationally with a bunch of superstars around him, I think helps him give him that killer instinct at the end of the day. I give Anthony a couple of legs up over Dwight. I definitely think he shoots the ball better, whether from the field or from the free throw line. I think his he's more agile than Dwight is. I think he gets up and down the floor easier than Dwight can. But other than that, putting points on the board and rebounding and consistently blocking shots. I said one season. This is this season for Anthony Davis. But I say consistently, I'm giving the edge to Dwight. I got to go with Dwight Howard. Last but not least, I think it is Chandler. Chandler, you are the only one that did not speak on the topic that you brought up.
Well, I would quibble with one thing that Ray said when he brought up the team making the playoffs. I think if you put Anthony Davis in Houston, I think they still make the playoffs. If you put Dwight Howard on New Orleans, they still don't make the playoffs. That's why I would take Davis. That's the reason I would take Davis, because it does matter who's around you when you're playing center. And we don't give a lot of credit to the people that Dwight Howard had. He didn't single-handedly carry that team, by the way. He had some decent players around him, the Turkaloos, and he had some decent pieces around him. He was a prime, he was a focal point, but he had some decent pieces around him. Dwight Howard pretty much is trash around him. I would take Anthony Davis simply because, to me, Dwight Howard is, and I don't care about what the media hype and all that, but Dwight Howard has shown me, and Ty, I was a Dwight Howard defender for a long time, okay? He has shown me that he does not have it in him to handle the pressure of being, truly being the guy. Even in Orlando, he didn't have the pressure because Stan Van Gundy got the headlines. Everybody else got headlines. They talked about him, but he never had to handle the negative pressure. And when he got to handling the negative pressure in a place he didn't want to be and didn't fit, I'll give you that, he didn't show well. And I don't know how much of it was injury, how much of it is him, but the guy I see right now is physically back, but he's not that guy anymore. And I don't know what it is. I don't think he's ever going to get back to being the guy who says, put the team on my back and I'm going to carry you. He's not built for that. He's not built for it. I think Anthony Davis is. So I would take Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is built for saying, okay, you want to put it all on me? I'll take it and do the best I can with it. Dwight is still looking for help. Dwight's still saying, I need help. I want somebody to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you are the center, a true center says, give me the damn ball, get out of my way, I'll pass it to you if I can't get to the rim. And Dwight at this point is that's not who he is. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy. I don't think he has enough dog in him. I don't think he has enough dog in him. And like I said, I defended him for a long time, saying give him a chance. It doesn't matter about how he's smiling. I can care less whether he smiles or not. That's not even what I'm talking about. But I watch him on the court, and I watch him float in games. I watch him float. I watch him run from the ball at times, and I don't want to see my center running from the ball.
Well, the reason why I was disagreeing, Chandler, is while you may feel like, Anthony Davis has that dog in him mentally, he doesn't have that durability in him, to be that dominant guy. And we're talking about a couple of guys that honestly don't play the same position. Dwight is playing center for his career, and Anthony Davis is going to be a power forward and has been playing power forward. So it's kind of, unfair in that sense. But, again, the most attempts Dwight Howard's been getting, you know, per game for a season. Well, it was 13.4 again. That was that outstanding season in Orlando 2010-2011. And then, you know, the first half of the season, or that 2011-2012, when he got hurt. And those numbers, you know, were like 22-14, 21-15, you know, with the two blocks and almost two steals per game. And the guy is attempting no less than 11 free throws per game. So they were asking Dwight to get his almost 30-15 with only 10 field goal attempts and your 10 free throws. Now, to me, when you know that I'm no better than a 50% free throw shooter, it sounds like you're setting me up for failure as opposed to success. So in terms of how people might view it, everyone, again, was still saying he's not dominant like Shaq. You know, he's always had to live in that Shaquille O'Neal shadow being down there in Orlando. And when he was trying to, you know, again, still just beat Dwight Howard, but manage all that scrutiny for being compared to Shaquille O'Neal, no one was talking about the fact that Dwight is getting half the field goal attempts that Shaq had been feasting on for his entire career. Like, I'm with you. I remember those fleet-footed days of Shaquille O'Neal. And if I can digress for a moment to that point that you talked about, man, the worst thing that ever happened to Shaquille O'Neal, in my opinion, was that L.A. made him bulk up. Did it get him championships? Absolutely. Did it make him even more dominant? Yes, because, I mean, the dude was super strong and he was massive. But the Shaquille O'Neal in Orlando, he was still dominant. He was fleet-footed. He was agile. He went full court with the ball, handled it like he was a big guard when he wanted to. But, hey, it is what it is. But when it comes to Dwight Howard, I still feel like he has that dog in him. But you're not going to see it throughout the regular season. I think those experiences with Orlando and that bad breakup, if you will, and sending him to L.A. and just being treated like, you know, he was just this plague of a guy, he kind of made up in his mind, in my opinion, and how I watch, excuse me, as I see him, is like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because it don't matter. I'm not going to be appreciated. Damn if I do, damn if I don't. Like, it's a no-win situation for Dwight. The only thing that's going to, you know, change anybody's opinion, if it changes their opinion, he has to win the championship. And I believe that, you know, again, another point where I was disagreeing, if you put Dwight Howard on the New Orleans Pelicans, he will get them to the playoffs with that roster. Anthony Davis is going to get to the playoffs in Houston on the fact that he has a player the caliber of James Harden running next to him.
If
Anthony Davis wants to be that dude, be the man, let me see you get to the playoffs with Drew Holiday and Tyreek Evans and Ryan Anderson.
New Orleans has a better roster than Houston. Anthony Davis, Omer Asik, Ryan Anderson, Tyreek Evans, Aaron Gordon, Drew Holiday. I'll take that lineup over what Houston has this year. And if we're making predictions, I don't know who said Houston's better than New Orleans, but Omer Asik is going to make Anthony Davis even that much better. And we're talking about a great duo rebounding right there, probably the best duo in the league. I guarantee you that's the top two duo in the league for rebounding.
Absolutely
so,
not.
Who's better? Who's better than the Sheik and Anthony Davis as a rebounding combination?
Stop yelling and talking, and I'm going to tell you. I can keep it real small. Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol.
No way.
Anthony Davis. Let me tell you something. Anthony Davis is not a dominant rebounder, gentlemen. Just because his average may look okay, and it just got to 10 last season. Let's be clear. Anthony Davis has played 64 and 67 games in his two seasons. As a rookie, he only averaged 8.2 rebounds. That totaled out to 522. Dwight Howard gets twice that in his sleep. That's injury, okay? In 67 games, Davis averaged 10 rebounds flat. Come on, man. Dwight Howard's getting 13, 14, and 15. Noah's doing 10, 11, 12. Pau Gasol can do 10, 11, 12.
It's Saul's old.
Yeah,
it's Saul's old.
It doesn't
it's
matter
Saul's
if he's old.
Old,
he's better. It doesn't matter if he's old,
no,
he's better. And you ask about what combination can out-rebound Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has not even gotten to 700 rebounds total yet. He's at 673 as a career high in total rebounds. He's not a great rebounder. He's a lengthy 7-foot point guard who can get deflections and steals and block, you know, a plethora of shots. But in doing so, in living up to that height, he puts himself and that frail body at risk. Now, did he improve on his body this summer? He absolutely did. He looks great. I want to ride with you when you said that he could be one of the great breakout players this season, and I'm banking on him to do that, provided he stays healthy and continues to demonstrate a wet jump shot that I'm seeing in FIBA games right now. That perimeter shot he offers up right now is looking very good. It's very consistent. He's very confident taking it. And if he keeps that up, then yes, he's going to put the points on the board with great ease because he's a better free throw shooter. But again, you did rebounding? Man, Zach Randolph a better rebounder than Anthony Davis.
Whoa.
Tebow gets 900 rebounds. Do your homework. You ain't got to like him. Just check the stats. Don't say whoa. Just stop talking. Go check the stats, and you compare season totals. It matters. It matters. Not the name value, the numbers. That's all that really matters. That's how you get to wins and losses, with numbers, not names.
Okay, Mike, I know you had a couple of roles in there, so you could address the situation if you like to.
I don't have much to add to it, but I just strongly disagree, and I guess we'll see. That's all I can say is we can agree to disagree, but I think New Orleans. I think New Orleans roster is head and shoulders better than the Rockets have right now, and I'm going to stand on my comment that New Orleans will finish ahead of the Rockets and make the Western playoffs. That's all I got.
Interesting.
So here on August 21st, the Pelicans will have a better record than the Rockets this upcoming season.
Oh yeah, yes, easily.
Did I mention
that Omer Asik became a Hall of Famer? Because last I checked, this was a guy who pouted because Dwight Howard came to Houston. This is a guy who I keep hearing about, but last I checked, the media has made Omer Asik this great player. I've never seen it. So when did he become a Hall of Famer that he's the reason New Orleans is so much better?
I didn't say that he made him so much better. I'm saying when you put all the pieces together with Ryan Anderson, Gordon, Tyreek Evans, True Holiday, that roster is better than what Houston has. I think Houston had one of the most disappointing off seasons this year in the NBA. You know, they lost Chandler Parsons. They lost out on Chris Bosh. Who'd they get? They got the guy from Washington, Trevor Ariza. But, you know, we'll see. I'm confident.
Ty, listen to this, Ty. Here's his team. I'm about to tell you about your confident team that you're in love with and what they gave you last season, okay? And you're banking on some miraculous change from those names. A Band-Aid bunch. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 letters for these guys in fantasy. And one day-to-day, and that's the five main guys. Drew Holiday was out. He only played 34 games. Tyreek Evans played 72, which was the most of any of those guys who are starting five caliber. Eric Gordon played 64 games. Ryan Anderson played 22. Anthony Davis played 67. And your boy Omer Asik only appeared in a total of 48 games. Thanks to Dwight Howard's presence, but you think the Pelicans are going to be better than the Houston Rockets? We see how much you watch or know about basketball in that statement right there. That's absolutely ridiculous, sir. Now, do the names and those players possess talent? Yes, they do. It's great talent, but those guys are injury prone. They have been. That's why their careers got off to a slow cook, a simmer, a slight boil. And now it's warm. at best. You understand me? It's warm at best. They've got to stay healthy and stay on the court, and they can't. That team is a Band-Aid bunch. They're going to build a team around a bunch of potential. Tyreek Evans, Rookie of the Year. Jrue Holiday came off an all-star season in Philly, shipped him out, and immediately he gets hurt. Eric Gordon had outstanding seasons with the Clippers. Helped Team USA, goes to New Orleans, and he's no good. Ryan Anderson, we know he's a sniper, but what happens? He hits his head, and all of a sudden it leads to a neck injury, head back, and all kind of stuff, and the psychological event of, you know, his girlfriend committing suicide and going to recover from that, and then the franchise player, Anthony Davis, not durable at all, but he's being asked to carry a load. And Ashik, come on, man, the dude's a joke, an absolute joke. I ain't even got no extras for him.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We can all be armchair quarterbacks, but this show is on record, so I guess when season starts and we see what happens, who's going to be right or wrong. So, that's, you
you're
know,
wrong
you got your opinion, I got mine.
You're right.
Just like I said, Chicago isn't going to compete with Cleveland. Look what Cleveland's done since I made that comment. They're going to get Kevin Love, John Marion, probably Ray Allen. They're loaded. And you think Chicago with Derrick Rose now? I mean, look, that's a topic I did want to get into. I don't know if you have time tonight, but about these players playing on.
We got time.
Well, about these players playing on the USA team when they shouldn't be. Look what happened to, you know, George from Indiana. Derrick Rose, you know, he sat out two practices, you know, sat out the one exhibition game. These guys should not be playing in these games. They mean more to their team. They got 82 games in a regular season with Derrick Rose, and he's messing around with the U.S. national team playing Puerto Rico and whatever team. These guys have too much to risk. He's coming off two major injuries. He should just take some time off and come back for the Bulls. If I'm the Bulls now, I would be very upset with Rose trying to play through this summer off these two major injuries.
You do know one of their influential assistant coaches is Thibodeau. Thibodeau is there watching this and supporting him out there.
Yeah, he's there. He's there biting his fingernails, hoping to God nothing happens to Rose. I guarantee you that.
Right. He doesn't want to see him get hurt. Of course that. But you want to see him at game speed approaching at least September, October. September's only, 10 days away. October's, 41 days. He has to get back into game speed and feel confident around the potential people that are the higher quality players in the league. At least that. And I'm actually on your side and saying that Cleveland should be the outright winner of the Eastern Conference with all of the pieces that they're putting there. This is something that I think Slim Jim was contesting, that Chicago should be the team that can contest or win the East. But I don't think that, you know, now I've gotten past that from what I've seen from Derrick Rose out there doing. Derrick Rose is blowing by people. I'm not denying that at all.
I'm just saying that there's a risk. I mean, we saw him now. He looks better. I think he should kind of, you know, do what Kevin Durant did. You know, he came. He showed that he's the best. He had a great, you know, time with the U.S. national team. But, you know, enough's enough. You know, this guy came off two major surgeries, you know. So I think he proved his point. You know, he's back. He's playing great ball. But, you know, to get involved in this tournament, you know, it just doesn't matter to me. I'd rather see the college kids in there. If they lose, they lose. I mean, we know the top NBA guys are going to beat any of these national, international teams anyway. So with Paul George, Durant left, I just don't like them. I'd rather have them playing the NBA 82 games and dealing with all this, you know, world championships and Olympics. That's just my thought.
Okay, Slim Jim, any thoughts toward this? Because this is something that you were addressing of Chicago in the East, and now this topic is actually resurfaced, and also from what you've heard from the debate between Royce and Mike between the issues.
Okay, let me go and start off with the New Orleans things first. Any team that got Tyreek Evans is not going to be making the playoffs anytime soon. That dude's heart is diminished. He doesn't want a ball. And look, if this is someone from Kings fan and watch that dude do 25-5, and everybody made a big deal about it because he was like the first person to average 25 and 5 as a rookie since I want to say Jordan. Okay, everybody made a big deal of it, and he showed his skill. Okay, great, but he got his money, and he has no heart no more. He wants to go and buy earrings, jewelry, and make sure he's driving the latest Escalade or whatever other SUV he feels is tickling his fancy that year. He does not want to win. Okay, so just that right there. And I mean, New Orleans, they got a nice young roster on paper, but they're far off. They're just really far off as far as making the playoffs. Even with Houston losing Parsons, and I mean, they got Lynn gone, Willie, he's here or there as far as their roster's concerned. Houston's still going to be a better team than the Pelicans. Now to address the Chicago-Cleveland debate since it's resurfaced. Okay, great. Yes, on paper, the Cleveland Cavaliers look great. Love it to death. Okay? They got LeBron James. They got Anderson Varejao. They're going to have Kevin Love. They got Kyrie Irving. They got Deion Waiters. That's a great starting five. They're talking about bringing in Neo, the Matrix. Okay, great. That'll work. Okay, good. At the end of the day, here's the thing. That's a team that's going to be learning how to win. It's not like the chemistry is going to be just instantly there. We all fall in love with the roster. It looks really beautiful that first year before and seen it fall short quite a few times. I'm not even when you bring in Kevin Love. Yes, it's going to look good. There's going to be a defensive liability at the end of the day. The team that has continuity, the team that knows how to play with each other, play together with each other, is going to have a better time playing against a team that's just a bunch of names trying to figure it out, at least for that first year. Okay? So, yeah, Cleveland looks way better on paper. They probably kick Chicago's butt on PlayStation, but in application, the series is going 7, and Chicago's probably going to send them home.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the situation, at least out east from what's been addressed, your thoughts on the two potential teams that could potentially finish at the top of the conference, whether it's Cleveland or Chicago, from what you've heard thus far, your thoughts on the given situation here in the kitchen?
Well, I mean, it's kind of what Royce was talking about. I mean, those names sound good. Ray Allen is 8,000 years old, and he's not there yet. Actually, Ray Allen is still on the sidelines debating. Sean Marion, really? Sean Marion. People keep talking about Sean Marion. I'm sorry. How many championships did Sean Marion help the Phoenix Suns get to? Oh, that's right. It was 0.
He's a piece.
In Dallas, they kept saying that Tyson Chandler was the reason they won a championship. Sean Marion was in Dallas before Tyson Chandler. So Sean Marion is this great difference maker. Why didn't he make a difference on the other teams he was on? And let's not forget, Sean Marion is like 8 billion years old as well. Okay, yeah, they brought in Mike Miller. Mike Miller, at any given moment, his back could go out. And somebody that's dealing with back issues, okay, I know how tricky the back is. I truly do. So to say, oh, he could just sit there and not play, and then they'll bring him in the playoffs, it don't matter because all he has to do is cough too hard and his back is gone. You got Kyrie Irving, who still hasn't learned how to share the ball. You got Deion Waiters, who's already said, I have to start, who's still saying, I have to start, not I want to start, not I think I should start, I have to start or else. Okay, and you're telling me that this team's going to be better than a Bulls team that plays together, plays like a team that not for nothing had a real shot to come out of the East last year, okay? And that was just with Joakim Noah leading the way. And let's go not forget that Joakim Noah has no moves. He really doesn't. Has one of the ugliest shots that you – listen, if your kid was shooting the ball like that, you take your kid and say, don't ever do that again. Let me show you how to shoot a basketball. Okay? And now they got Pau Gasol, and you're going to bring back Derrick Rose. And last I checked, they still got Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau is coach of the year every year. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have a guy named David Black who might be a great European coach but has never coached in the NBA. Ever, not as an assistant, not as an intern. He wasn't a video guy. Hell, he wasn't even in the NBA arenas because he was coaching overseas. And you're going to tell me that with all of this stuff going on in Cleveland, they're the team to beat? Absolutely not. I'll take Chicago. I'll take Washington before I take Cleveland.
Well, you're forgetting one thing, and that's just LeBron James. I mean, you can put all these theories together and say this or that. So you're telling me in a seven-game series in the Eastern Final, you're going to take Chicago Bulls over LeBron James?
Yes, yep. I will take the Chicago Bulls team over one player. So unless LeBron – is LeBron playing all five positions? No, he's not. There's four other guys out there that are going to be – that are going to be ball hogs.
I think you're underestimating, no disrespect, but I think you're underestimating what he's going to do for Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and, Mike Miller, Sean Marion. Yeah, you're right. I mean, those guys might not turn out to be the players they want, but, I mean, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and, of course, they're going to pull other players to that team, too. That's what I've said all along. This isn't the complete Cleveland roster you're going to see after the trade deadline. Players are just going to keep coming to LeBron here and after, and Chicago's just not going to be able to deal with that team they're going to meet in the Eastern Conference Final.
Just because you collect players doesn't make you a team. You give me a team over a collection of individuals any day, and that team is going to win. Teams win. Individuals don't win. You can talk about LeBron's the greatest of all, but when he got to Miami, they played like a team. And then, and let's not forget their first season, they had to learn to play like a team. The first half of their first season, they looked like hot garbage because they were trying to figure out who's going to dominate when, who's going to get the ball here. Listen, you like to play here, I like to play here. How does this work? Now, because we had two superstars and one guy who I don't consider a superstar but is a really good team player and is a well-above-average player, Chris Bosh, who all sublimated their egos, they made it work. They had a team of veterans sublimating their egos. You got a team full of guys in Cleveland who don't know how to play basketball, one. You're bringing in a guy who's not a winning player. You can talk about the numbers on Kevin Love all you want. He's not a winning player. Okay, because the first sign of adversity every year in Minnesota, he threw his teammates under the bus. That's not a winning player. You got a bunch of selfish guys, and you're trying to tell me that you're going to turn selfish guys into unselfish guys in one season. It doesn't work that way. It takes a couple of seasons to make selfish
people
unselfish.
I didn't say Cleveland was going to win the final because I think any team coming from the West is going to beat them. I think the East is terrible still. I just don't – Derrick Rose has to get through 82 games healthy. I mean, Pau Gasol, yes, 5 years ago against the Celtics in the finals. I mean, this guy is getting up there in age. And, you know, your comment on your comment on the Bulls being a challenger this year, when were they ever a challenger? I mean, they lost to Washington in the playoffs, and you really think they would have a chance – without Derrick Rose against Miami to get to the finals? Come on now.
Because they matched up better with Miami than they did with Washington.
Without Derrick Rose, they would have a chance against Miami this past year.
Would they have won the series? No. Would they have given them a hard way to go? Absolutely, just like they did the previous
season. You can always say given a team a hard series, but until you're going out on the limb saying they're going to beat them, then, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay, so without Derrick Rose, would they have beat Miami? No. Would they have had an opportunity? Would they have a shot at it? Yeah, this season with Derrick Rose, can they beat Cleveland? They absolutely can. Again, I go back to the coach because everybody keeps talking about Doc Rivers has made the Clippers so much better. That's still the same roster. The only addition they made was the coach. Not for nothing, having Tom Thibodeau and getting Derrick Rose back is far greater of importance to me than LeBron coming with an untested head coach and a bunch of guys who don't know how to win basketball games.
And I'm still not factoring in Derrick Rose. That's the cold part. That's really the cold part. It's just it's nothing against Cleveland. They got a nice roster. Okay, they look great on paper, but it's just. When you got a bunch of kids that haven't done nothing, Kyrie's an all-star, hasn't carried Cleveland to do squat, okay? We saw LeBron James go from Cleveland to Miami to play with D-Wade that first year, a proven champion, okay? And they still fell short. Yeah, they got the championship. Everybody and their mom just knew they were going to go and run roughshod all over Dallas. They got worse.
That was on them. And now you're going to go, really, in the end, yeah, on paper, this looks like a better roster because there's more rebounding on the team with the size of Varejão, and then you're going to bring in Love. Those things look good, but when you look at the continuity of the team, and just like Chandler mentioned, which is something that I've never bring up, David Blatt hasn't coached on an NBA level. He's got a learning curve, too, at least for this year, okay? It's not out of realm of possibility, okay? I got Chicago in 7 over Cleveland, okay? I got continuity. I got the coaching. It's there. And the roster is actually improved. Pau Gasol is an improvement over Boozer. If people are basing Pau Gasol on what he was doing in L.A., they're sadly mistaken. He was getting farted on with the coaches that he had down there. They didn't know how to utilize him whatsoever. Mike Brown, D'Antoni, they don't know what to do with that dude. You're going to try to go play running gun ball with Pau Gasol? Come on, man. In Chicago, he's going to fit in with what Thibodeau's trying to do. I'm just saying, man, at least for this year, Chicago is on Cleveland and Washington. And I'm still not factoring in Derrick Rose. I'll factor in Derrick Rose after we see him in April.
Here's my two tweaks to this, and I don't know if y'all want to talk about it afterwards or get moving from it. I see two flaws, well, one flaw for each team, and I'll start with Chicago. I know they're going to question on where the additional scoring may come from, which I think they did pick that up this season, but I do want to see it come true to form because I think, you know, with the team that they have constructed, I know that they're going to probably shoulder the load right back to Derrick Rose, but we'll see if Pau can come here and at least give him 16 to 20 points. I think I'm pressing for Pau to get that 20, but at least looking at it, 16 to 14 points per game could definitely be influential. I think this could be a Taj Gibson season, too, for Taj to be influential off of that bench after they told him that he could start and do well for the Chicago team. I think along the process of the season, Chicago has an easier time of picking up the scoring pieces at the end of the day with their flow. I think this is something that they can adjust to and adapt to the flow of the play in the Eastern Conference, where there aren't going to be a lot of strong teams in the Eastern Conference that are going to blow them out, because Chicago plays a great deal of defense themselves. And if Thibodeau could get Pau to play any kind of defense, that's a plus. That's a plus. So I think the additional scoring outside of what the notables would do is a flaw that I think they can figure out. Cleveland's problem to me, as it seems right now, and I don't think they can corral this by the, you know, midway point of the season or toward the end of the season, but, you know, superstar players like LeBron and Kevin Love and, you know, the shooters that they may have around the perimeter may help them score. But the one flaw that I do see with Cleveland is their interior defense, especially on the post. I don't see any of these guys putting anybody on clamps or having them behind bars with no four or five could get down there and score, or having people penetrate and score at the rim.
I think you're underestimating Varejão a little bit. I mean, if he's healthy, yeah.
Defensively, when?
Yeah.
When has Varejão been a presence defensively in his career?
When he's not been injured, you know, he's one of the best defensive centers in the league, rebounding.
What?
Yeah.
Rebounding is a given. I'll give you that. I'm going to reason with you here. Rebounding is a given. If it comes off the rim or the backboard, wherever the shot comes off, that's a possession of the ball. I give him that. Who have you ever seen any separate a lock up in the NBA? I was about to say NFL. In the NBA, at the 4 or 5, if he was in Denver or here, who I've never seen Varejão lock anybody up.
He's been considered, when healthy, one of the best defensive centers in the league, rebounding the whole package.
No,
I mean, maybe that's what I've seen it in every game I've watched. They've said that. I don't know where, you know, no disrespect, but Varejão is a player when he's healthy.
They said he's one of the better help defenders in the league, and he is one of the best help defenders in the league. He is not one of the best defensive centers. He's a great help defender is what he is. He's the guy who come over and he knows how to cheat out on a pick and roll. He knows how to show up big when they're doing it, when somebody's trying to run a pick and roll. He's somebody who knows how to get position and help. He's a great help defender. He is not a good one-on-one defender at all.
I'm in Cleveland. I'm looking at Anderson Barajal's numbers, like blocks per game, like he barely averages one. Steals, he's barely averaging one. Rebounding, like I said, he's 6'10", 6'11". That's a given. He better be able to put his two hands up, box out, and get a board. If he can't get a board, then something's wrong. If rebounding is all there is to it to play defense, then anybody can do this. then anybody can do this. And if I am underestimating Barajal, I'll give you Barajal. Who do you think is a better defender at the five, him or Joakim Noah?
I think Noah is arguably, you know, right there, you could argue the one of the best in the NBA, if not the best, when healthy. So, I mean, I'll give you Noah, but I mean that doesn't saying that doesn't take anything away from Barajal. It's just that Noah's that good.
And one word that Royce was hitting on through the duration of the show, and I'm going to throw this right here to Anderson Barajal, durability. When has he ever been durable enough to make it through an NBA season, ever?
Well, I did say that. I said when healthy. So in my defense, I said when healthy. Obviously,
right.
When he's not healthy, you know, he's not on the court.
Yeah, but that is something that you have to take into consideration, no?
No, I do. I do. I take it into consideration.
Okay, is there anything that you guys would like to address before we do get away from this topic, or does everybody have their feel on the Chicago-Cleveland saga? I guess that silence is bliss. And also to add to the Cleveland situation, Larry Drew actually joins the coaching staff in Cleveland. I don't know how you guys feel about this. I know Slim Jim may because he just left Sacramento a little while ago, so... He was with you guys at one point, no?
I don't remember Larry Drew being in Sacramento. Atlanta definitely.
Last season. Atlanta got rid of him last season. He didn't coach here about like 2 or 3 years ago?
Because he could have just been.
No, not that I remember.
ESPN said that.
Not that I remember, but it's okay.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I got one more topic before we get out of here. I want to see how you guys feel about this. I've already talked about this with Chandler already. I want to see how you guys feel about this. Mike, I'm going to come to you, and since you are pretty adamant at going at this guy, I want to hear you spark this kitchen up before we get out of here. We're going to leave on a bang. James Harden states that he is the best all-around player in the entire NBA. Your thoughts on this statement? From Jimmy Beard, from RTZ, if you will. So your thoughts on this one, Mike?
Well, I mean, to be the best player in the NBA, you have to be one of the best offensively and defensively. Offensively, yes. Defensively, not even close. So that just takes him out of the equation right there is his statement. You know how I feel about max players who are the best players in the NBA. You got to be a two-way player, not just strictly offense. So that's an asinine statement. Harden's defense is at times not even NBA caliber. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Arkeza? Your thoughts on this situation with Jimmy Beard? I think going out on a limb with me saying this one, how do you feel about him saying that he is the best all-around player in the entire NBA?
Yeah, okay. You know, I got a diss.
No,
I got a diss. And we can keep it right there with James Harden. It starts with him. ESPN put out a top 10 shooting guards list this season, and James Harden's number one, Lance Stevenson's number 10, and Kobe Bryant is nowhere to be found, 1 through 10. How y'all feel about Kobe not being on the list for projected top 10 shooting guards of 2014-15? And let me tell you who's on the damn list. Number one, James Harden. Number two, D. Wade. Number three, Monte Ellis. Number four, Jimmy Butler. Number five, Deion Waiters. Number six, Tyreek Evans. Number seven, Victor Oladipo. Number eight, Klay Thompson. Entirely too low. Number nine, Manu Ginobili still on the list. Number 10, Lance Stevenson. No Black Mamba. Holla at me, fellas.
Okay. This is going to get interesting. We are running out of time, though. Slim Jim, I'm going to come to you. Your thoughts on the list at the top 10 shooting guard in the league. Do you agree with it? And anything that you would like to tweak from what Royce had mentioned?
Hey, I was waiting to see where Klay Thompson was on that list. That was the thing that I kept on, you know, bobbing my head, like, where is he at? And he ended up being number eight. And ended up being behind Jimmy Butler. Right.
Deion Waiters, what?
Deion Waiters, look. Now, this might be because I'm a lightweight homer and I stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching the Warriors, y'all. Look, Klay Thompson is coming, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, he's gotten consistency in his game. He'll go and hit the 31 night and then fall apart and have that 3 for 15 the very next. That's true. But the boy he's coming, and there's going to be a point where he is just as explosive as Steph Curry. I see it coming. I watch the dude shoot. I watch how those two play off each other. There is no doubt in my mind that at some point they're both going to be putting up 23 and 25 a game. No, both of them, over 20. That's going to be the highest scoring backcourt in the NBA at some point. As far as Kobe goes, he was hurt. I hate to do that to the Mamba. But go and look at the names at the head of him, even while he's hurt, is laughable. But, I mean, I give him a DQ or incomplete or whatever I can give him or there's an asterisk. There you go. Let me give him an asterisk.
No. Wait a minute, Slim. This is the projecting the top 10 shooting guards for this season, not last season.
This is the projections
for this year. How do you project Kobe not in the top 10 if he's telling you, I'm ready and I'm playing?
Okay, yeah, that's ridiculous. Where did they rank him at when it was all said and done? Where did they have Kobe?
I didn't see what was beyond 10. He didn't make the list. That's the issue. Kobe outside the top 10?
Yeah, I'm not going to have Kobe as a top 10 guard and he's healthy and he's projecting. Okay, yeah, that's the key word, projecting. Yeah, that's a joke. Klay Thompson should be top 5 easily. And I would put if Klay's 5, then Kobe's 4-3. That's what I would say.
Chandler, how do you feel about this list that Royce mentioned at the top 10 shooting guards in the league?
Let me start with Kobe because I don't understand this. Maybe you guys can enlighten me. He's coming off back-to-back years where he's tore his legs up. He's coming off an Achilles and then a knee. Okay? Achilles.
Yeah.
Okay, he's 30, how old? 36? 36 coming off an Achilles. Okay, as someone who's had both of his blown and both surgically repaired, you're not the same. Now, was I a world-class athlete? Absolutely not. But I do know what it is to have your Achilles go out and have it repaired and know that you're not the same. You don't even walk the same anymore. He's not going to be who he was. He's 36. He's not going to be who he was. He's been playing since he was 18. he, in my opinion, no, you should not project him to be top 10. Will he wind up there? Maybe. But there's no way you can project him to be top 10 because you can't guarantee he's going to stay on the court. You can't. If we're going to hold Derrick Rose to stand well, he's got to show us he's healthy first, then why does Kobe get a pass? He's been hurt for 2 years as well. So how can anybody project him as top 10?
I can tell you how you get a pass, Chandler, because this fanatics give people passes, you know. I mean, I heard the fanatic, he didn't give Anthony Davis a pass. He gave Anthony Davis a pass, but he don't want to give one to Derrick Rose. Like, I don't get it. Or Kyrie Irving. Like, come on, man. Injury prone is injury prone. Don't just go with who your fan is.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying I can't see projecting Kobe top 10. That's why when you were talking about Anthony Davis, you drove the injuries. I didn't say anything because you were absolutely right. I had forgotten about the fact that Anthony Davis is injury prone when I was looking at him and Dwight Howard. I'd forgotten about that. That's why I didn't say anything when you were talking because you were absolutely right. But as far as top 10 two guards, why is Dwayne Wade in the top 10? Because Dwayne Wade, to me, is in the same boat as Kobe. There's no way in hell Dwayne Wade's a top 10 two guard right now. I'm sorry, because he takes every other week off. How you be top 10, you're taking every other week off because your knees are shot. Jimmy Butler's a small forward. I'm sorry, he's a small forward. He's not a two guard. Klay Thompson, James Harden are the only two actual true two guards on that list of the names that you named. The rest of them are bums. Deion Waiters, are they kidding me with this nonsense? Deion Waiters, oh, my God. Deion Waiters, I'm stuck on Deion. Deion Waiters, really? Ahead of Klay Thompson. Jimmy Butler ahead of Klay Thompson. Are they kidding me with this nonsense? At this point right now, seriously, at this point right now, is James Harden the best two guard in the league? You can make an argument that he is based on the fact that Dwayne Wade is old, Kobe hasn't played, and Klay Thompson is still on the comp. I can even buy somebody saying Klay Thompson is the best two guard in the league. But to put Jimmy Butler and Deion Waiters in the top 10 of anything is totally ridiculous to me. So in that aspect, when you look at it that way, if you take out the moronic names that, and that had to be ESPN, the ESPN threw in there, then yeah, Kobe should be on that list. But if you're going to put damn Jimmy Butler on that list, you got to put Kobe on that list. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Word.
Exactly.
Okay, is there anything that you guys would like to address before we start shutting stuff down in the kitchen? And, oh, by the way, Royce, you are one bad chef because you made him leave the kitchen. I'm going to just say that. As soon as you started saying that, he left. So you better start putting together a better dish than that. Not to say anything about that, man. If you can't take the heat, you know what you're supposed to do, baby. Get out of here.
Get out of the kitchen.
Look, I'm being rude. I want nobody to leave the kitchen. You know what I'm saying, Mike? You do what you got to do, man. If you're a fan of Anthony Davis or feel some type of way about Derrick Rose and them, you know, so be it, man. That's you. So, now they didn't get to get through my dishes. These guys did bring some food for thought. I like this. I like what I get to put my feet up a little bit. So it was very entertaining, interesting. And, of course, the heat was brought here at the Master Chef Show with the Crossover Cafe Edition. Now, I thank my big brother all day long. So somebody better make sure Royce get here, man, because Royce missing the beginning of the show. But either way, I know he, you know, duty calls. I know he got stuff to do out there in Indiana. But, you know, I want my boys to start to finish. At least they get to finish up the show. So let me get plugs and promotions from all of you here in the kitchen this evening. I'm going to start with you first, Slim Jim. Anything you'd like to throw out there to the people before we get out of this kitchen at the Crossover Cafe?
No, not really. Kind of want to bring up the Knicks wanting to trade for Bledsoe, but we'll talk about that next week. I'm going to say that just for next week, just in case, you know, it might happen between now and then. We'll save that. You know the drill, yellowjackedup.com. Georgia Tech football's going to be coming soon. Go and check me out over there. Also go and check out three-point conversion. Go and check out the YouTube video page and check out the Facebook page. A lot of articles, a lot of stuff going on with them.
What else? That's pretty much it. Oh, can't forget my boy, the sports craze. Noah's doing big things, man. Proud of that youngster. He's doing big things. He told me he scored a deal, actually, with a certain cable company. I might have him come on one day to go and brag about it. But that's pretty much where you're going to find me, thesportscrave.com, threepointconversion.com, and yellowjackjump.com. College football's coming. Thanks for having me on. Love Sports City. How am I going to forget that? I'm thinking about my homework. Man, we got some things coming up. I think tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I'm going to let you do and talk about it, Ty. I'm kind of excited about this college football thing we're trying to do, man. Thanks for having me in.
See how stuff slips their mind, man? Just slips your mind. Look, I feel like Harlem Nights when Sugar tried to shoot the Snaggletooth dude, man. Look, if you ever see Harlem Nights, you would know the part I'm talking about. My favorite movie of all time. I can't front. Roy, give me a plug or close out anything you'd like to promote before we get out of this kitchen.
Man, I'm promoting me. Royce the Voice. Hit me up on Twitter. At Royce_TV, that's Royce TV. I'm your NBA fantasy sports consultant. I got what you need. Holla at me.
And Mr. Knight, last but not least, you starting the fire here in the kitchen and having Royce having people leave Sports City. I want you back, Mike. Mike, if you listen to the show at the end of the duration, get back here, man. I don't want to see you walk away from the kitchen, man. So what, man? Me and Royce go at it all the time. We do this. Well, Mr. Knight, give us a plug and close out before we get out of the kitchen.
All right, let me see if I can do this right this week. All right. Sports New Chefs got shows every day. We do football, basketball. We're going to do some college. We're going to do some fantasy. It might even be some hockey if I can get tired of actually, you know, talk about a real sport like hockey. You got 3-point conversion, yellowjackedup.com. Royce does got all the fantasy stuff. He's on Twitter. Ty's on Twitter. There's a Facebook page. And as a matter of fact, go on Ty's Facebook page and watch him do the ice cup challenge instead of the ice bucket challenge.
I tried. I let this dude go, and he still throws me up in the bus. Start to finish. This is what I do. I can take the heat. I'm the darkest out of all of them anyway. So I can take it regardless. You know what I'm saying? But if you check out my joint, I had 2 soft pots of ice water dumped on me. So check that out, man. Like it. If you like it, I told people you got to do the challenge. So you better not like it, because if you do, you guys will do the challenge. That's that. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef. Actually taking time off from the roundtable tomorrow. We are actually starting up a college football show tomorrow, 7 p.m. Hopefully you guys get in there and hear us talk about some of the power conferences, players to watch out for. Man, we got a lot of food for thought. And also Saturday, the NFL with the Gridiron Chef Show, me and James Greenwood. I think it's the AFC West, if I'm not mistaken, but stay tuned. Check out the Sports City Chef Twitter and Facebook pages. You'll be getting links on both of those as usual. Every day we put that up. You know what I'm saying? Doing a lot of work. Speaking on behalf of Chandler, Royce, and Slim Jim, on that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, I had 2 pots. I don't care what Chandler said. Now you know.
Shot up in liquor store. believing that the pool is ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon.
As far as I'm hearing, y'all doing a lot of comparing, cause young Neef been on the block missing a lot of parents. Yeah, youngin' still got it in, 120 a gram. Now they had your smokers and your fiends leaning like a kickstand. I said my brother for your mother, man. For them blocks and them dead presidents wrapped in rubber bands. Shotty with pistol grips that'll rip through shit. I hate a prick, I kill his bitch and make him ditch a ditch. Neef fuck, keep something on me and send a clip. Cause I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I can show you how to do this shit. Get you straight and get your cake right. Let a smoker test your weight before you take it to the plate. Rock it down, stuff the shit in 5-8, early and not late. Don't be making no mistakes, put it out and then you bring it back straight. There's more money to make.
These bucks in full effect, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. These bucks in full effect, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon.
Gunner, just another victim of the ghetto, nigga. Post and pivot and distribute the work. My pop broke his pivot, got addicted to work. Man, they say it's a shame, but as they say, it's a game. I made my way through the game. Rowdy Lord Youngin' with that snotty nose youngin'. Everybody Lord Youngin'. The only youngin' now huggin' that pavement for paper. They was shovelin' payments for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live. Trying to stay alive. Mom's working 11:30, the curfew, I was trying to stay the 5. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive, I be copping again. So fuck a day job while I'm dealing, they ain't stopping me. Straight from the center to state property.
Young Chris in full effect, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner, cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. Young Chris in full effect, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I don't squeeze my cannon out.
That's the world through my rear view. Go and baby scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Stars Brothers, why won't we come through? They can relate to Chef music, help them with their problems. Turn this up. What's your problem? Sports City. That's all I got. I'm gone.